Charles Shiner, current staff member of Lao Amuto Institute for Reconstruction Monitoring and Analysis, had this to say on the effort to punish those responsible for the genocide of over 200,000 Timorese.
These were committed mostly by the Indonesian military. Most of the crimes against humanity happened in the late 70s and early 80s. And there is, at this point, no move anywhere in any court to hold the people responsible for that accountable. They created special panels and a serious crimes unit, but they've restricted their scope to 1999. The serious crimes unit has indicted 300 people for serious crimes, which are things like rape, murder, torture, crimes against humanity, genocide. Of those 300 people, 70% of them are given sanctuary by the Indonesian government. The pattern has been decreasing political will on everybody's part to support the serious crimes unit. There's a lot of frustration among people, and the UN is increasingly backing away from it.
Mr. Shiner gave the example of rice, a staple food for nearly everyone in East Timor, and the difficulties faced in the global economy.
East Timor could probably grow enough rice to meet the needs of the entire country as far as basic food goes. But imported rice is cheaper, and so most people don't buy domestically produced rice. And so there's a lot of rice production area that's not being farmed. And part of the consequences of having a national development plan written largely by consultants from the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank is that they don't have food security.
The exploitation of its oil and natural gas resources could help pull East Timor out of the role of poorest nation in Southeast Asia. Australia, however, has other ideas.
The water between East Timor and Australia is a strait which has underneath it somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 billion worth of oil and natural gas. In 1989, Indonesia and Australia signed a treaty ignoring the law of the sea and split it 50-50 between Australia and Indonesia. The US and others said, it's illegal, but it's a fact and we accept the fact. Australia is essentially occupying the sea belonging to East Timor in the same way that Indonesia occupied the land. If the current occupation continues, then Australia will steal about 55% of East Timor's oil and gas resources. To East Timor, it represents basically their only hope of any kind of economic viability.
Jill Sternberg, co-director of the Peace and Democracy Foundation, described the state of the educational system.
And so they're left with a situation where all the schools were destroyed, all the teachers left. At the same time, there's a huge pressure on behalf of the government for people to use Portuguese. The people who got a university education primarily got their education in Indonesia. So it's a very complex situation, and on top of that, it's incredibly under-resourced. The classroom size is between 40 and 50 students a class, and typically there's one book per classroom. School is not free. So in a country where the majority of the population are surviving on subsistence agriculture and 80% unemployment, it's incredibly challenging for someone to pay just a couple dollars a month to send their kids to school.
To get more information on how to increase the pressure to give this young nation a real chance to its future and to help provide books and education to the children of East Timor, call 718-596-7668, 718-596-7668, or log on to etan.org. For WBAI Sunday Evening News, this is Fred Nguyen.